Everybody, Perakov Bez, Pasuk Bez. Pasuk says, Vatamas Sarah Bekiris Arba, Sarah Imenu passed away and carried Arba Hi Chavron, which is Chavron Beretz Canaan, the land of Canaan. Vayoav Avram Lispod Lisarah Belief Kosa. Avram came to give a hesped for Sarah and to cry for her. If you look in the Pasuk, I obviously could not put it on the little thing on your sheet. You look in the Pasuk, the Chaf in Belief Kosa, the Kaf, I should say, is a small Kaf. Small Kaf. That's what we're going to be concentrating on today. So the first thing is, where did Avram Avinu come from? It says, Vayavo Avram. Avram came, Lisposa over Lisposa. Targum Yonah says, Avram with Vino was coming straight from Har Moriah. At the end of last week's Parshan Vayera, we have the Akedah. After the Akedah, he came from the Akedah straight to Hebron. He walked home, he came home, and he saw that his wife had passed away. This may have been part of the tests of Avram, the Nisyonos of Avram Avinu. Most Rishonim say that the 10th test was the Akedah. There are some Rishonim that say that the 10th test was coming home and seeing that Sarah Imenu had passed away. That after the Akedah, and he thought he was at the apex of everything, and everything was awesome, he comes home and he sees his wife has passed away. Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is what you gave me? Because I went and I did the Akedah. I come home to my wife passing away. That was the test. And nonetheless, Avram Avinu passed it. He did not regret going to the Akedah. He did not regret listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word. He passed the test. According to the Rabbeinu Ephraim, Vayavo Ef Avraham is saying gematria as Min Aked Ba. I have no idea what it means. It seems to be off by 20, but either way, Min Aked Ba comes from the Akedah itself. The Ramban says that's what the Midrash tells us that happened. The Midrash tells us that he came from the Akedah. He ended up going over to here. He does not connect it. He does not connect it to anything else, but she died when she heard the news about the Akedah, and that's that, and we'll see this a little bit later on. The Ibn Ezra says this has nothing to do with the Akedah. And it makes sense, because the Ibn Ezra is the Shita that everybody holds of, who says that the Akedah happened when Yitzchak was much younger. He was not 37 at the Akedah, the way Rashi or the Midrashim say it. He was a young kid, 13 years old, he suggests. Around 13 years old is when the Akedah happened. And therefore, it happened way earlier, when Sarah Imenu was still much younger, and that's not when she died. So when it says over here, by Yavo Avram, the Avram Imenu came, he came from elsewhere. It's not connected whatsoever to the Akedah, that's what he says. The Rashbam, the Ramban at the end of the Chizkuni all say, by Yavo does not mean he was coming from anywhere special. If I would say, I came to Shul tonight in order to give this shir, I would still use the word by Yavo, right? It would still be, and he came. So you don't have to say you came from anywhere special. It could just be, and I arrived from where I was before. Therefore, there's no real difference. A person can say that, and it shouldn't make any difference. That's their opinion, and it's a simple shot. So we've got coming from the Akedah, or coming from nowhere in particular, or just coming over to be able to give this. The Medrash Rabba says he was coming from burying his father, Terach. Now, that's a little bit of a weird Medrash. Terach died at the age of 205. We know that he gave birth to Avraham Avinu when he was 70. That meant, I mean, if we go through, if he gave birth to Avram Avinu when he was 70 years old and he died at the age of 205, that would make Avram 135 at the time when the Akedah, when Terach died. But if that's the time when Terach died, if that's what we're talking about, then we're losing something over here within the 137 years, when we're dealing with these 137 years when Avram Avinu should have done the Akedah. I don't know what it means. He came from the death of Terach 2 years earlier, and then he buried Sarah 2 years later by the Akedah. Something's wrong with that cheshbon. So there's something over here, the Megali Amukos. He says that Avram Avinu really was the youngest of the three brothers. Really, Terach gave birth to him when he was 72. The Gematria of Chesed, by the way. And because of that, since he gave birth to him at the age of 72, therefore he might have been 137. But it's a really strange medrash, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done on that medrash. But I'm not concentrating on that today. I'm also not concentrating on the famous Rashi. There's an awesome Rashi over here that says that he came from Be'er Sheva. Came from Be'er Sheva. Why Be'er Sheva? Now, guys, if you look at Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, which is Har Moriah, the area the Beis Hamikdash should be right here. Hebron is right down over there, a little bit south. Be'er Sheva is way down south. It's not like you go to Be'er Sheva on the way there. Why would Avram Avinu, instead of going home to Hebron, where Sarah Imenu was, why would he go to Be'er Sheva first, right, and then hear that Sarah Imenu had died, and then go to Hebron? Something's wrong with that. Why in the world would you ever go to Be'er Sheva over anything else? There was a time when Avram Avinu lived in Be'er Sheva. There was a time when he did live there. But it seems like he was living in Hebron at the time. So how does that work when it comes through there? What I'm ignoring is the wording of Rashi. Rashi says, Kimat Shalonishchat, when Sarah Imenu heard, Kimat Shalonishchat, it's almost as if he didn't get shechted. That's when, the way Rashi says it, her neshama left her and he died. That's a really weird Rashi. a very strange Rashi. It seems to be saying the opposite of what you think. I always thought she died when she heard about the Akedah. The way the Rashi seems to say it is she died when she heard the Akedah didn't happen, which is unbelievably strange. And to understand that line, it takes a lot of work to be able to understand that. That's not for right now. I wrote some answers over here while it goes through. But simply put, when it comes to Vereshava, it could be the following. The Shach suggests. Shach suggests that his Eshel, his inn, was actually in Beersheba. He was actually in Beersheba. Chevron was where Sarimenu was at the time. When he came from the Akedah, he first wanted to go to his Eshel, his inn, where he did all of his chesed and he brought people in. He wanted to go there first to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity of doing the Akedah. And then he went up to Chevron. Then he went back to go see his wife in Chevron. That's a possibility, that he went down to Beersheba and then went back, hearing that his wife had passed away. That's one. The Ramban suggests something a little bit different, that it seems that he was living in Beersheba. Sarimena went up to Chevron to find out what happened, and she died in Chevron when she heard about the Akedah. But either way, this is a very strange Rashi, this Beersheba. And I'm going to skip the whole thing about Kimat Shlo Nishkot over here. We'll get back to it. The Balaturim. Balaturim and the Rosh say, the Chaf in Velivkosa is small to indicate that he did not cry that much at Sarimenu's funeral. Why didn't he cry that much at Sarimenu's funeral? Listen to this Balaturim. She was really old. She lived a full life. And therefore he felt no need to cry. I want to ask you, when people are older, 90, 100 years old, people don't cry at the funeral? Now, I agree that you live a full life, then people at that time have already said, like, oh, wow, she lived a great life and that's there. But Sarimenu was a tzaddikus. What does this Balaturim mean? That he didn't cry at Sarimenu's funeral because she was so old. She was so old. What does that Balaturim mean? There's clearly got to be something more than that. What do you have, Yehuda? So when people are crying for someone who died, they're crying for themselves. Okay, and therefore? And therefore, why would it be less here? So you're saying, so that means that it's not specifically for Sarah that he didn't cry a lot. It would be for anybody. It would be for anybody. But that doesn't answer the Balaturim. The Balaturim is saying he didn't cry as much, that it was a little bit of crying because she was so old. There's got to be something more to that. The Paneach Raza says you can indicate this from the word velivkosa is written without a vav. Vav, lamed, beis, chaf, taf, hey. Not velivkosa, chaf, vav, taf, hey. There's no vav in there. To indicate again that there was not so much mourning going on here. He wasn't worried. The Raza the Meir says, that's even why he says, vayispod lesara, velivkosa. That's weird also. It should be vayispod, velivkos, lesara. He went to give a hesped and to cry for Sarah. What's vayispo lesara? And he gave a hesped for Sarah, the livkosa, and to cry for her afterward. It shows the hesped was a sari menu hesped. The hesped was an awesome hesped, but the crying was not a sari menu crying. The crying was a little bit less than that. So he said the possibility is that he really was maspid her first, and that got everyone to cry. They had to be ma'orer, the crying within themselves, which is even stranger. They weren't crying before they gave a hesped. Sarimenu died, everyone just accepted it. They were good with it. They were fine. Everything is perfectly fine. And then after they heard the hespedim, they started crying. That leads to an even bigger kasha. So I mean, I have a Balaturim that says he didn't cry that much because she was old. I have a Paneach Raza and a Raza the Meir that are telling me that he didn't need to cry in the beginning. They didn't cry in the beginning. Only after they heard hespedim, that's when they started crying. What does that mean? The Das HaKeinim says, when Avraham Avinu came back from the Akedah, he saw that they had already been mourning for Sarah for 3 days. It had been 3 days since she had passed away. After all, it took him 3 days to get to Yerushalayim, to get to Har Moriah from Chevron. That's what it says in Parshas Vayera. Took him 3 days to get back. He came back 3 days after she had passed away. The people told her she had passed away, and he came in the middle of Hespedim. The people were sitting around mourning Sarah because they didn't know where Avram Avinu was, didn't know that Avram was in the midst of the Akedah. So they're all giving their Hespedim and mourning for Sarimenu that had passed away, right? And 3 days later, Avram Avinu shows up, so he joins in the Hespedim, and then begins to cry. So therefore, it's by Yispel to Sarah, they were giving Hespedim for Sarah, Livkosa, and that's when, by or that's That's when the crying started happening because of what was going on. That somewhat fits in, but that doesn't tell us the Bala Turim's answer. The Bala Turim of crying because she was so old is still messed up. Rabbi Yehuda Asad, the Ma'ari, says, if the Akedah occurred on Yom Kippur, has anybody heard that before? That the Akedah occurred on Yom Kippur? Right? There are opinions that say that. If the Akedah occurred on Yom Kippur, then what day was this? Took him 3 days to get back. That's Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. He comes back on Erev Sukkos. Now, I know they didn't have Sukkos back then, but there is a halacha that if there's a hesped that needs to be said on Erev Sukkos, you have to hurry it along so you can do your preparations for Yom Tov. And I know Avraham Avinu didn't keep Yom Tov in the sense that we keep Yom Tov, but he did. There were certain mitzvahs that Avraham Avinu kept in some way, shape, or form, and he kept Sukkos in some way. However that was, on Erev Yom Tov, there's a din that we're not maspid as much. The Ma'ari says, we learn that from here. That he only cried a little bit because it was Erev Yom Tov. And we learn from there that in an Erev Yom Tov, you don't give as many espadim, you don't cry as much. Says the Ma'ari, we get it from right over here. Now that makes sense, but again, doesn't answer the Bala Turim. There is another Bala Turim over here. The other Bala Turim says something which he wasn't really faulting Avram. This is how Rabbi Yehuda Asad says it. Since she died at a ripe old age, Avraham Avinu saw that other people weren't crying. He saw that he went to people and he said, "Oy vey, my wife passed away." They said, "Oh, how old was she? 127. Oh, 127. That's amazing. That's an amazingly old woman. That's amazing. That's a great thing. You should be happy that she lived so long." And when Avraham Avinu saw that people weren't crying, it's not that he wasn't crying. It wasn't that he wasn't crying. He gave a hesped the likes of which the world had never seen before. He came, lispod lisara, to give a hesped that everybody, he gathered everyone in that he could, and he gave Rasara the live kosa. And they cried. Why did he give that massive hesped? Kavod Elokim Hester Dover. Some things should remain hidden. Some things should be tznius. Sari Minu's life was to be tznius. Sari Minu's life was to live behind closed doors. What in the world does she have to have such a great hesped for? And the answer is because Avraham Avinu wanted people to realize what they lost. Sometimes you hear about a Revel Yashiv passing away at an older age, or Aaron Leib Steinman, great Gedolim, living to the age of 100 and more. And you hear about them and you say, wow, but they did live to a very old age. And that's true. It's amazing that they lived to such an old age. There's no question about that. But we don't realize what we're missing when they're gone. There's something that happens when a gadol like that leaves. When you have a gadol of that stature who leaves this world, who's no longer in this world, there's something missing that we don't recognize, that we have no idea. We have no idea such a thing happened. And therefore, this idea that the Rabbi Yehuda Asad says and really is mentioned within the Bala Turim is that there was no crying because she was so old was not referring to Avraham Avinu. It was referring to everybody else. And it's to get the people to think, what's going on? So Avraham Avinu told them about certain things that happened in his tent that nobody realized up until that point. He told them, did you know that the bread in my house was always fresh? There was never stale bread in my house. And all the people sat there and they said, you know what, we did notice that there was never any stale bread in Avraham Avinu's house. Right? There's never. I go to Skok Yeshiva in the morning, it's stale. How is that possible? But at Sari Menu, everything was fresh. He said, yeah, that's one. That's one. He turned around and he said, you ever noticed that the Shekhinah rested upon my tent? They said, yeah, there was something special. There's something there. Sari Menu's gone. It's gone. I'm never going to have that ever again. It's never going to be. The Neros Shabbos, the Neros of Shabbos that were there, that were supposed to light all Shabbos long, they're gone. He told people about the special things that no one ever knew about a person like Sari Menu. All they knew was the outside things, or maybe things that they might have heard from other people. They knew that she was Megayer Gerim. They knew about that stuff, but they didn't know about other things. This is what he did to make them cry because nobody was crying enough. And that's the din when it comes to anything. If you see people hearing about a great gadol that passed away, somebody like Rav Avadi Yosef Zatzel, or somebody like Rav Yashav Zatzel, or somebody like any of these that passed away, and you see them say, like, well, yeah, but he was an older man. Or somebody who's 96 years old, who's shot in a shul. And you hear about that, and you say, she was 96. She lived a full life. That's when you say, you're maspid her, maspid them, to the level where you can cry over them. To get to the point of a lifko sub, that's the entire point. That's the idea behind it. The Shach says, he didn't cry so much, listen to the Shach, because he knew this is the end. He knew that I'm done with Nisyonos. I don't have a Yetzer Hara anymore. I'm done, said Avraham Avinu. He had 10 tests up until the Akedah, or possibly this one, and he knew his tests were completely over. There was no Yetzer Hara by Avraham Avinu's life for the rest of his life. He was 137 at the time. He dies at the age of 175. He has 38 more years, 38 more years in which there's no Yitzhar. He gets to live a life that's almost like a free life. He gets to do only good and nothing bad. For 38 years in which we know nothing about Avraham Avinu's life. We know he marries Keturah and he has 6 kids, but that's it. We know nothing else about his life for those 38 years. The Shach says he didn't cry because he was so happy he passed those tests. He knew. He's looking at the whole situation and he says, look at this. I'm gone. And I know that seems selfish. But he looked at it and he said, if I pass these tests and my soulmate, Sarah Imenu, she died at this point, that means she also passed everything. There's something that she got out of this and she's on the highest level. Says the Shach, he was sitting there and saying, that's unbelievable. I have nothing to do over here. Yeah.
When we saw that, they said, she lived 127.
Yeah.
But Tarek lived to 210.
205.
205.
There obviously were people living longer. That's true. But I think the norm was not to live that long. These were anomalies. There were certain families that were extreme, and there were anomalies that lived a little bit longer. I can't tell you that for sure. I have no real proof for that. I have some Rishonim for that. But it seems like there were anomalies that they lived longer, just the family of Noach directly through Shem, Aver, etc., but everybody else lived normal lives. Yechiel, yeah?
Isn't it bad that he lost his Yitzhar? Because when Hashem created the Yitzhar, it said,
at a certain point, your job is to get over your Yitzhar and to defeat it as much as possible. When you get to the point where you're totally defeated it, you get to other Marishim before the Chait. For a person like Avram, that was the perfect level. He was just living for the rest of his life to do more and more great things in the world and to improve and make Yitzchak the person that he was. So I hear you. There's no challenge left. He felt he didn't need that challenge. There's a famous Rav Schwab that deals with the Haftorah with David HaMelech and Abishag HaShinamis that says the opposite of this, but I get it. The Shach is saying the opposite way over here. I will tell you that the Ol Aryeh says in our Hashkivenu that you say every night, you say the words V'haser Satan Milfaninu Me'acharenu. Remove the Satan from before us and after us. Here's the Ol Aryeh. He says, remove the Satan from before us and after us means remove the Satan from before we do a sin. The satan before we do a sin is, before you do anything, before you even do a mitzvah, we should say, the satan's sitting there when you're sitting in bed and says, just stay a little bit longer. There's no need for you to get up. Why bother? When you're about to do something great, he says, come on, you could do something else instead of this. Why not go into something else? That's remove the satan from before. But not only that, you ever done a mitzvah and then regretted it because of something that happened afterward? You sit there and you look at it and you're just like, you know, I really wish I wouldn't have done that mitzvah. Something bad happened to me because I did that mitzvah, so it seems. Haser Satan Me'acharenu is, remove the Satan from behind us after we do something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't make us feel like it wasn't worth doing in the first place. Remove the Satan from after we do it. Says the Ol Aryeh, that's what happened to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, after he did the Akedah, he knew what the test was. He realized that the end of the test of the Akedah, or the last test of the Aser Nisyonos, is to regret it. And he said, I'm not. I'm not going to. And he smiled. He couldn't cry as much because he was so besimcha at the fact that he had just passed all 10 tests. That's an amazing line. The Kli Yakar says he didn't cry so much for her since he knew she was a great tzaddikus. And I'm sure somebody had that answer there. It wasn't that she lived a long life. It's that she was an old woman who had filled all of her, everything she was supposed to do in this world. She had fulfilled everything. And when you see a person that you know is going straight to Olam Haba, straight to Gan Eden, you might miss the fact that they're no longer in the world for you. But you don't miss the fact that their neshama is no longer here. The neshama is in the highest spot in Olam Haba. That's the greatness of this. You sit there and you say, Baruch Hashem. That's the idea of why he didn't cry as much, says the Kli Yakar. He said, I'm going to miss her. But that's selfish. Her? This is the greatest thing that could have happened to her. She's finally in the greatest place out there. That's the idea behind it. Maybe, he did it for the B'nai Ches. That's what the Kli Yakar suggests. Who may not have known about this, may not have been maspid or cried as much, but nonetheless, there's something over here. The Kli Yakar then goes on about the small chaf. He says the small chaf could represent no crying, but he says the chaf also represents something else. A chaf is a chaf pay, gematria of 100. A chaf is 20, pay is 80. Altogether is 100. When a person passes away of the stature of a person like Sarah Imenu, it's like the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash had an ulam, a hallway, an entranceway going into the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The ulam was 100 amos tall, chaf amos high. When a person of this stature passes away, the 100 amos of the Beis HaMikdash, it says, if you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash in your time, and therefore the chaf is not representing a small amount of crying. It's to remind us of what we really should be crying about. That, as we said before, a great tzaddik dies, it's like you're missing something awesome. We don't know what it's like to have a Beis HaMikdash around, so we can't miss it the way that we should. But that's what the chaf represents. It represents the Beis HaMikdash is gone. We're missing something over here. There's a kliyukr that says that Sarah Menu was so great, she had never sinned. Now, we have a Gemara in Bava Basra Tazayin and in Shabbos Nun Hei that mentions there were only four people that never sinned in this world. Right? We have Amram, Yishai, Kilav, the son of David HaMelech, and Binyamin HaTzadik. Those are the only four people who never sinned. We have another Gemara in Derech Eretz Zuta and Perek Aleph at the very end that mentioned the nine people that went to Gan Eden alive. Right? Went to Gan Eden alive. You have Chanoch, Eliezer, Avraham, Abram, Eliyahu Anavi, Serach Basasher, Yaivitz, the son of Rabbi Yudanasi. He goes through the nine people, and there's Yeshomrim, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi from the Gemara in Kesuvas and Ayin Zion. So it goes through, and it mentions the 10 people over there. But nowhere does it mention Sariminu. Sariminu didn't have any sins. I mean, if you look at the Torah, it does seem like she did things that were questionable. I don't know about sins, but it definitely does seem. She lied. She might have laughed, right, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke. She kicked out Hagar. I mean, there are things that I definitely could question in Sariminu's life. But the Kliyukr says the chaf was small because she mamish should not have been killed. She was on the level of Adam Rishon before the chait, Adam Rishon before the sin. She was on that level. Adam Rishon before the sin, says the Gemara, was 100 amos tall. And therefore the small chaf represents the 100 amos that she was. She only died because Adam and Chava had sinned. She only died for that reason, and that's that. It's interesting. The Gra says the same type of idea, whatever it is, but goes into the Guf and the Neshama and the Ksava Kabbalah as well. We're not going to go into that. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says that the chaf is small because Avraminu had another wife that consoled him when Sariminu died, and therefore he wasn't as sad when Sariminu passed away. That's an unreal Rabbeinu Ephraim. So first of all, we know about three wives of Avraminu that may only be two. We know that Avraminu married Hagar. We know that. We know about Sariminu, obviously. We also know about Keturah, but it's possible that Keturah is the same person as Hagar. So it's possible it's only two wives. But there is a line at the end of Parshas Chayisara that says something weird. V'libnei ha-pilagshim asher la'avram nasan matanos. To the sons of the concubines that Avraminu had, he gave gifts. Now, Rashi says the pilagshim are referring to Keturah's kids and Hagar's kid, Yishmael. That he gave them gifts and sent them away and everything was all good. He had six kids with Keturah, one kid with Hagar, Yishmael, and he sent them away together with gifts. And that makes sense. That's a Pnei Pilagshim. That's why there's no Yud there. Rashi explains that's what we're referring to. The Medrash says Avraminu had five wives. Sarah, Hagar, Keturah. Sarah Imenu was from Shem. Hagar was from Chum. Keturah was from Yethes. And he had two Pilagshim, two concubines. According to this pshat, Hagar may have remarried Avraminu, but I don't know. She may have come back. But let's say she wasn't. Keturah may not have come in until after the Akedah. That's the order of the Pesukim. But he had two Pilagshim. And according to the Rabbeinu Ephraim, since he had other wives, and I know they're not full wives, they're just Pilagshim, but he was somewhat consoled and he didn't feel as badly. That is an amazing Rabbeinu Ephraim, a Rishon, that says such a thing. I don't know of any medrash that says that he had other wives at the time, but I'm guessing that it's based on this medrash over there. What's up?
If Avraham can marry Hagar from Chum, he tells Eliezer, though, that what is blessed is not based on his courage.
Because he wants all the lineage to come from Yitzhak to be an absolute blessed lineage. So although he married Hagar to have children in the first place, because he didn't think he was going to have any children from Sarah, once he knew he was going to have children from Sarah, he wants all those kids to be without curse. That's why he didn't allow her to marry into the family of Chum. I'm sorry?
Maybe like your daughter for a second wife could be...
If you wanted Yitzchak to have a second wife. There's a level that Yitzchak Avinu was on in Midas Adin in which he couldn't have a second wife. The Hasidim talk about that. But I hear the idea. The idea is 100% true. There's another one. There's a Bikur Yavi, but we're going to skip that as well. The Baal HaTurim says another answer, and this is a scary answer. I can tell you right now, when I read this answer, I was sitting there and I sat there for a little bit just thinking about the answer. Baal HaTurim says, he didn't cry so much because she caused her own death. She caused her own death and she caused herself to die. Why do I say that? The Gemara says in Bava Kama Tzadi Gimel that if you give a curse to someone else and you say they're wrong about something or cause, you say like you should die because X, you will die first. And the example given is Sariminu. Sariminu looks at Avram after Hagar gives birth to Yishmael and says, Chamasi Alecha, my anger, my wrath is upon you. How in the world could you have allowed Hagar to become pregnant before me? How could you not have davened for Hagar before me? Now, Avraham Avinu, it's tremendous class, it didn't say anything. But Sariminu said those words to Avraham Avinu, says the Gemara, because she said, Chamasi Alecha, my wrath is upon you. Hashem put his wrath upon Sarah first. Says the Baal HaTorim, listen to this, guys. She said this when she was, what, 85 years old? 84 years old? Could be even less. It could be 74, 75. I don't remember exactly when. Yeah, around 74, 75 years old. Said it's 74, 75. And that's the reason why she died. She died at the age of 127, says the Baal HaTorim. She caused her own death by cursing someone out. Just by saying, I hope that guy gets punished for doing what he did. And she was saying about Avraham Avinu, and she for sure didn't mean it. She for sure didn't mean it. She's talking about her husband. She would never curse him out like that. Who would curse out their husband like that? It's not what he meant. And yet, says the Baal HaTorim, that's why she died. Because he cursed her. She cursed him. That's crazy. The Das HaKeinim says, the small chaf is because of what she said to Avraham Avinu. You know why? She was supposed to live to 147. She died at 127. She lost 20 years of her life. That's the chaf. She lost 20 years because she said that. How do you get 147? Because that's what Yaakov Avinu lived to. She was supposed to live to at least Yaakov Avinu's age. She died 20 years early, and that's a small chaf. That Teres Adar says there's 20 years from Yishbot Hashem. May God judge you, she said to Avram. Yishbot Yudke Vavke. Yud and Yud is 20. That's where she lost 20. But that's crazy. Now, what I thought was interesting, the Zakenim that lived after Yeshua. Does anybody remember at the end of Sefer Yoshua? The end of Sefer Yoshua? So according to this shot of the Baal HaTorim, this is the reason why Avraham Avinu didn't cry as much for her. He didn't cry as much. Why? Because you're not allowed to cry for somebody that caused their own death. So crazy. So Avraham Avinu came to the funeral and wanted to cry, but said, halachically, I can't because she caused her own death. So I can't. Even though she caused her own death 45 years ago, I can't cry as much. I'm not going to do as much. So he didn't cry as much. So I don't understand. There's a Canaan after Yoshua died, were punished. Does anybody know this? At the end of Yoshua's life, it says, "Vayarichu yamim achare Yoshua." They lived long days after Yeshua died. Chazal say they lived only days after Yeshua died. Why? Because they didn't. They weren't maspid Yoshua properly. They didn't give a hesped to Yoshua properly. Does anybody know what age Yoshua passed away at? 110. You know why he didn't live to 120 like Moshe? Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Yoshua, you're supposed to live to 120. I'm not going to let you die until you conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. Yoshua said, this is the Gemara. Yoshua said, I'm not going to die until I conquer all of Eretz Yisrael. Guys, go slowly. Take your time. Take your time, guys. Don't conquer it very quickly. And they went slow. And Hashem said, you think that's how it's going to work? You think it's going to work by going slowly? I'm going to take 10 years off your life. So tell me, did Yoshua cause his own death? The answer is yes. What's the halacha if you cause your own death? You can't give a good hesped. I think I just found pshat as to why the Zakenim were punished. The Zakenim had a svara. Yoshua, right, died a little bit early. The Zakenim looked at it and said, why did Yoshua die at 110 instead of 120? They looked through Yoshua's whole life and they couldn't see anything wrong until they came to this. He went slowly when it came to conquering Eretz Yisrael. They said, oh, he was caught. He caused his own death. There was a reason why he died. We're not allowed to be maspid him and cry for him the way that we're supposed to because he caused his own death. So just like Avraham Avinu didn't do so for Sarah, we can't do this to Yoshua. They claimed that was the reason why, and that's why they did it. So why did they die? Why did the Zakenim? What were they wrong about? I'm not positive. I think there's a difference between crying and giving a spadim. You can't cry as much for such a person, but you have to give the proper a spadim. The Zakenim didn't give hespedim for Yoshua the way they should have, and therefore they were punished. Avram gave the hesped for Sarah the right way, but he didn't cry as much. That was the halacha, and the Zakenim messed up the halacha. I think that's pshat behind what the Zakenim did, and the pshat behind that. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says, do you understand what this means? This means, if someone does something bad to you, your natural reaction is to curse them out. I hate that guy. I hope he dies. I really hate that guy. I really hope he has horrible punishments. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, if you do that, you may not be roy to be cried upon at your funeral. Do you hear that? Because that means that Hashem is going to punish you first because you're cursing out someone else. You're going to be punished first, which means, just like Sari Menu, no one should be crying at your funeral. That is a crazy line. A crazy line. And it's our natural reaction. We want to take revenge. That guy did something to me, and it's legit. He did something really bad to me. So my reaction should be, I want to hurt that person. I want that person to go down. So my first thing is, I'll daven Shemona Esrei, and the mitzvah of Shemona Esrei, and I'll say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take care of this for me. And if you do that, you may not be ready to have anybody cry at your funeral. That is sickly disturbing. I don't even know how to describe it in any other way. It's unbelievably disturbing. Somebody came up to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein and said, a non-from worker, non-from Jewish worker, at a certain misrad, certain office in Eretz Yisrael, messed a guy over just because he was from. So this from guy who got messed over completely now owes $1,000 to the thousands of shekel to the government because of this guy. It was nothing he did because this guy messed him over. The Israeli guy messed him over who wasn't from. He went to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein and asked, can I curse him? Can I daven that he has a horrible life? Can I daven that something terrible happens to him? Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein pulled this out and said, if you don't want anyone crying at your funeral, go for it. You don't want anybody crying, you can do it. But otherwise, you can't do it. Now, obviously, we don't know when that happens. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will either be mesabiv it that way or whatever it is. But it's something that we don't even think about. Does anybody know this? Does anybody know this? I'm sorry? Yeah. Unfortunately, we have that. It's all based on that Gemara and Bava Kama Tzadi Gimel. You're right, it happens. It's just crazy. There's in some way, shape, or form, they must have gotten the punishment that was deserving of them, but that's the idea behind it. I'll tell you, this is one of the stories that I don't even know what to say. Rav Hirsch Levinson was the son-in-law of the Chavetz Chaim. Rav Hirsch Levinson was a tzaddik beyond a tzaddik. Tzaddik beyond a tzaddik. But he was also miyasser himself greatly. Do people know what that means? It means he gave himself yisurin. He would fast often. He would cause himself to be in pain. He would do certain things to himself, right? So when Rav Hirsch Levinson passed away, they told the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim was overheard saying to himself, Rav Sternbach says this, Chafetz Chaim was overheard saying to himself, maybe he's ma'abed atzmo ledas, and I shouldn't be crying at his funeral. Maybe he was ma'abed atzmo ledas, which means he destroyed himself. He doesn't mean that Rav Hirsch Levinson committed suicide, in which we don't give a spade and we don't cry at a person's funeral. He means maybe it's the status, maybe he did it to himself. He caused himself to die early by giving these yisurin to himself, by plaguing himself and hurting himself to the point where he died early. Maybe he did it. And if he did, then I can't cry at his funeral. And he immediately knocked it out. He immediately said, no, we can cry at his funeral. And he did. He gave a hesped, he cried for him and everything. But do you hear that? The Chafetz Chaim had a Havamina that his son-in-law, who was a tzaddik that no one questions. No one questions. Rav Hirsch Levinson was a tzaddik beyond tzaddikim. And the Chafetz Chaim had that suffix. He looked at it and he said, I don't know. It's beyond. Because maybe he gave himself more than he could handle. Maybe he plagued himself more than he could. When a person goes ahead and says to himself, what's the problem with fasting a little bit more often? I can handle it. Maybe you can't. And if you can't and you do it anyway, maybe that's ma'abed atzmo ledas. It's crazy thought. It's literally the craziest thought. And then we get into the final line, which I only have like 9 minutes to do. I'm going to say it really quickly. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Tez Zayin Amud Beis. It's also mentioned in Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph in Bava Basra that Avram Minu had a daughter. V'Hashem Berach Zavram Bakol. One of the opinions is he had a daughter and her name was Bakol. That was her name. According to one opinion, that was the name over there. What happened to her? Right? Why do we know nothing about her? Tosis and Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph asks why she didn't marry Yitzchak. You're looking for a wife for Yitzchak. Why not marry her to Bakol? Because at the time, maybe that's there. He says maybe Bakol was from Yishmael, right? If it was from Hagar, I'm sorry. Or perhaps she was too young. But either way, Bakol did not marry Yitzchak. Drush Shmuel, written by Rav Shmuel Feivish Sofer. He was a grandson of the Sma. He lived in 1694. Says the small chaf in the word Veliv Kosa means Ulabita. Take out the chaf from the word. It says Ulabita. So read the word. It says, Ve'avo Avram lispod l'Sarah. Avram came to give a hesped for Sarah, Ulabita, and for her daughter. That's what it says. That's how he learns up this pasuk. It's like that. He says when Sarah Menu passed away, his daughter Bakol passed away as well. So he came not only to be maspid Sarah, he came to be maspid his daughter. The same idea is brought by the Mincha Belula, Rav Avram and Acham Rappaport in 1594. You see how long back this word goes? And he says he saw this in a medrash. saw in a medrash that Avraham Avinu had a daughter who died in his lifetime. The Penine Kedem brings up from Rav Shachna of Lublin, also in the 1600s. That's three perushim that say it. The Maril Diskin says, well, Rav Shul Leib Diskin at the turn of the 19th, at the end of the 1800s. Maril Diskin says it as well. Saraminu died. Right then, he heard his daughter had died as well, and he was crying for her as well as his wife. That's what Maril Diskin says. And then I found it again in a fifth place. The Chassam Sofer in the Torah Moshe says Saraminu's daughter, Bakol, died much earlier. But Avraham Avinu never mourned for her. You know why he never mourned for her? Because he always had sorrow. So although he was upset that she died, he always had sorrow, so he assumed he'd have another daughter. And at some point, he'd have another daughter. According to this idea, though, once Sarah died, and he saw he was never going to have a girl with Sarah Avinu, maybe he had from Keturah, maybe he had from Hagar, but he was never going to have a girl from Sarah Avinu, then he mourned not only her, Sarah Avinu, but also the daughter that died years earlier. Says the Torah's Moshe that he died even there. He didn't even have her. That's the idea behind it. And that's the reason why Tosfos said, obviously Tosfos doesn't agree with that in Baba Basra. Because Tosfos and Baba Basra asked, why didn't she marry Yitzchak? A very easy answer would be, because she was dead. Tosfos didn't say that. So it's clear that's not what Tosfos holds. But the Chassam Sofer says that. Chassam Sofer has a pshat, but let me tell you, Rav Moshe. Igros Moshe. In Ora Chaim, Chelek Dalid, Simen Mem Osvav. Here's what Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe says somebody brought him up this Maril Diskin, said, I've never seen the Maril Diskin before. I can't believe it. Aside from that, it's a Torah Moshe and all these other Perushim. But, you know, it could be that Rav Moshe never saw any of these farm. Could be that he never saw it. Rav Moshe says, there's no way. I don't have a raya that didn't happen, but he says it sounds very strange. This pasuk, Vayavol Avram Lifo Lissar Belif Kosa, to daven for his daughter, is before it says, Vashem Berachas Avram Bakol. That Hashem blessed Avram with a daughter named Bakol. That's later. That's Chaf Dalid Pasuk Aleph. This is Chaf Gimel Pasuk Beis. They're in different places. You mean to tell me that he mourned his daughter, and the Pasuk's telling us he mourned for his daughter before we're even told about her? That doesn't make any sense. Why in the world would it be out of order? That doesn't make any sense at all. So Rav Moshe says, I've never seen it. I've never seen a medrash that says that. And I don't know these svarim that have it. I'll take a look at them, he says. I'll try to find the Maral Diskin and I'll take a look at it. He says, the fact that I haven't seen it is not a raya, but he says, I don't know how this makes any sense. That's Rav Moshe's kasha. I think I found an answer. The Ksav Sofer says a tremendous answer. He says, everyone assumed when Avi Melech was with Sarah Imenu in the same room and Yitzchak was born 9 months later, everyone assumed that the child was Avi Melech's. Because Avram and Sarah had been together for 75 years already and they haven't had a kid. All of a sudden, Sarah Imenu was in the room with Avimelech, right? And all of a sudden, she had a child. They took a look at it and they said, something's up. This has got to be Avimelech's kid. They took one look at it and they said, it's got to be like that. So they wondered. They sat there and they wondered. Now, the Medrash goes through how they knew that it wasn't that problem. They knew that it was something like that. But that was the reason for the daughter. 1 year later, says the Ksav Sofer, he had a daughter. And what was the purpose of that daughter? There's only one reason for the daughter to be there. To prove that Avram and Sarah could have a child. If Avram and Sarah were able to have a daughter, then they certainly were able to have a son. The whole purpose of this daughter was just to prove that Yitzchak Avinu was a son. As a side note, by the way, you know what Rashi says by the word Bakol, Hashem Barach Avram Bakol? Bakol, Begematria, Ben. Bakol is the Gematria of Ben. Now that's true. But what does he mean? According to this pshat of the Ksav Sofer, what Rashi means to say is that the whole purpose of Bakol being born was to prove that there was a son from Avram and Sarah. That's the whole purpose of her. Well, that means, guys, that Avram knew his entire life that Bakol was never meant to be. And that way he'd never have to worry about who he's going to marry her off to or what he's going to do with this girl when she grows up. He obviously had to worry about that. Where's this girl going to go? I don't want a child of mine in Saras to just marry some non-Jew and just live in a Vodah Zara life somewhere. So what am I going to do? Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to have a daughter with Sarah Imenu. The whole purpose of this daughter is to prove that Yitzchak Avinu exists. Yitzchak Avinu is your child. And once that happens and she'll live a couple years, she's going to have to pass away. Now again, that's still a horrible punishment. And you can't say that without a medrash saying that there was a girl named Bakol that passed away, which, again, it's possible there was such a medrash. The Mincha Belulah said, I have a medrash that says it. But the Ksav Sofer says that's exactly it. It was exactly it. And therefore, she did die. soon after she was born. Soon after she was born. Not immediately, because then people would say, oh, it's not a real child. Soon after, 5 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, I don't know. But at some point she passed away, and her whole purpose was to prove that she was Avraham Avinu. I will tell you, there is a Chassam Sofer that goes through the years, says that Bakal, she was 52. The Gematria Bakal is 52. She was 52 years old when she died. Yishmael, at the time of the Akedah, was how old? Does anybody know? She was 14. He was 14 years old when Yitzchak was born. So how old would he have been at the Akedah? 37 plus 14. So what is that? 51. Means Bakal died that year. She was a twin of Yishmael. And she died right then, at that point. And she was Hagar's child. Not from anybody else. It's a crazy... The Chassam Sofer says that. Tiferes Yonason says she was the twin of Yitzchak Avinu. Anybody hear that before? She was the twin. He says, Es Yitzchak. Tiferes Yonason, Rav Yonason Aib just says she was the twin. There's so much to this, guys. I'm not going through anything. I still have a Megala Amukos to go through, but we're going to have to stop with this. There's so much here. Have a great Shabbos, everyone.